take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk a little bit this morning just about allowing God to be God. Let God be God. We always think that we've got a better idea, we've got a better plan, we've got a better way that obviously I can do it better than God can do it. Ever been around anybody that they thought whatever they did, whatever you did, they could do it better? Well, that's how we are with God a lot of times. We think that we can accomplish things a lot better than God can, a lot more effective than God can. And what we do is we become our own master. Everything's about us. We become self-absorbed, self-reliant, self-sufficient. And God stands at the door and knocks. Hey, you want to know why that got so messed up? Because you didn't call on me. And what we do is we'll use God for the extreme emergencies. We'll use God as 911, but everything else, we just, God, you just wait over here. I've got it. I've got this. Matthew 6, 24, the Lord says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's talking about material things there. But he says, therefore, said because of that, because you can't serve two masters, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evils thereof. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we ask this morning that you would speak to every heart today, Lord, and touch every heart that is tuned and listening to your word this morning, Father. Glorify yourself in everything that is said and that is spoken here, everything that is done. And Lord, hold me up by the power of your might and give me unction to preach, Father, and give that which is sufficient for our growth today, Lord, and each one who has made the choice today to come to put themselves under preaching in the house of God, and we'll thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now understand this morning that our God is a God of more than enough. He's a God that is abundant, can do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the greatest difficulty that we have as Christians is by faith to simply believe what God says. I mean, we trust God and we believe God for salvation. We accept it, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand that and we believe it. But when it comes to those other things that God says, a lot of times we said, well, I'm not so sure whether I believe that or not. Hey, if God says it, you can take it to the bank. Many believe in God without ever just believing God. The Bible says, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall it not come to pass? Shall he not make it good, is how that goes. See, the problem has never, will never be with God. The problem has always been with man. Our failure. It's our failure to just simply step out by faith and take God at his word, believe what he tells us. And we go to him for emergency. I remember years ago, Jeff's brother-in-law, Roger Hounce, his sister Laura's husband, got a throat cancer, and it was bad. And Chad had just gone through his cancer, and Roger's family called Chad and got encouragement and comfort from Chad. And his wife, Laura, they're not very old at all, and it just floored her, and she was beside herself, crazy, didn't know what she was going to do. And she remembered the verse. She said, Brother Tom said, this verse is what did it for me. In Mark 5:36, the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Said that verse got her through it. Be not afraid, only believe. That was her verse. She stepped out by faith, and she believed God was able to do, just as he said that he could do, exceeding abundantly above all that she ought or asked or thought. Doctor said it was bad. And you know, from the natural standpoint, she was right. It was bad and was awful. And Chad went through that. It was scary. And you remember the disciples on the ship? The Lord was on the ship with them. And man, they thought for sure they were gonna die. I mean, these were the old Navy men, and the storm came up. It says in Mark 4:37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Commercial fishermen, Navy men. And they knew that they were in trouble. And the Bible says that the waves beat into the ship and the ship was full of water. And from the natural standpoint, they were right. They were in trouble. And I said that to say this. You remember the Lord calmed the sea and stilled the waters, calmed the wind. We believe God for salvation and we believe God for all those emergencies. But for many of us Christians, when it comes to everything but the impossible, everything but the very serious problems, instead of relying on God, you know what many of us do? We tell God in so many words that we can handle this. Hey, Lord, you can go back to sleep now. I've got this. How often do we do that with so many things? The Bible says in Proverbs, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It don't say in some of your ways. It says in all thy ways acknowledge him. David said, I will cry unto God Most High, and to God who performeth all things for me. He don't say some things. He said, who performeth all things for me. We don't do that. Only the rough stuff. Hey, I call on God when I lose my car keys. Duh. I do. Joyce the other day, she'd been working all day. I forget what she was doing, but she was going back and forth working, doing this and that. And she lost her wedding ring. And she started looking. I said, God, help us to find that. And we went over and there on top of the washing machine was her wedding ring. Said, well, preacher, I don't think I'd bother God with that little stuff. It says, in all thy ways, God who performeth all things for us. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. Does that mean some of his steps or all the steps? What all are you leaving God out of for his strength and his guidance and his help and his deliverance in your life? My. Self-reliance is a hindrance to your walk with God. And you know what? God is pleased whenever we count and trust in him. It gives God glory whenever we quit trying ourselves and we give it to God. We turn to the Master and say, Master, would you do this for me? No job is too small or too big for our God. And if today, if you're here this morning, you're a master of your own destiny, then certainly God can't be. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. God, leave me alone. I can handle this. I work hard. Then hear the Lord in our text. He lays out all those things that we stress over and worry over and try to handle ourselves, doubting that God can do what he says he will do. He said, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You say, and worry don't do you a bit of good, folks. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, take no thought about all that stuff that we stress over. He said, don't worry about it. He says, don't even take the time to think about those things. You trust in God. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. And we refuse to do that. In fact, here he said, that's the kind of stuff that the Gentiles, here it's talking about the lost world. That's the kind of stuff that the lost are always taken up with, worried and stressing over those kind of things. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. God knows what to do. And he loves you. He gave himself for you. You're a child of God. You have a heavenly Father. And it says your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You look to the spiritual man and to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans 8:32, Paul said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He wants to be in every aspect of your life. He wants to be there for you. And we will not let him. But my God, it says Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply some of your need. Is that what it says? No. It says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. The fellow said, well, preacher, I sure wish I could believe that. You can, you just won't. You just won't. He said, I stand at the door and knock. You won't give up control. We're control freaks. You dare let Joyce try to get that TV remote out of my hand. We've got to be in control. I want to watch Fox News. She wants to watch wrestling. There's a new wrestling network coming in October. How do I know? My wife tells me so. Said, I believe it's going to be big. We love to... I'm going to tell myself here. Let me move. Lord, help us. Help us all. All right. We won't give up control. The Bible says in Isaiah that the Lord's hand is not shortened, and his ear isn't heavy that he don't hear us. He wants to be there for you. Oh, Lord, Jeremiah 10:23, the prophet said, Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, and it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Do we believe that? Hey, all these things that we stress about and worry over and are burdened down with are not hidden from God. He's your God. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He said in Luke 12:6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Psalms 55:22 said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I often look back to this passage where David is growing old. David said in so many words, said, I've seen the heat of many summers. I've seen the cold of many winters. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I've seen the good times and I've seen the bad times. But there's one thing, you know, that I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's people begging bread. Our problem is that we want to have control. We won't give it up. No man can serve 2 masters. Is God in control? Or have you refused to allow him to be in control? I'm not talking just about the emergencies. I'm talking about just about those that are only possible with God. The health crises and the crisis with your children, the wayward child, and all those things that you know that only God can do. We run to God for that, but when it comes to our everyday life and our everyday decisions and our everyday needs and our everyday walk, we have a tendency to tell the Lord to just go back to bed, go lay down, take a little nap and leave me alone because I can handle this. The Lord said, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord would like to hear from you in every aspect of your life. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We just sometimes won't let God be God. If he's your God, let him be your God. He's the God of the mountain and he's the God of the valley. He'll help you in everything. There's nothing too big or too small for our God. All things are possible with God. Only believe. Do you believe that he can do all these things that aren't, you don't really look at them as emergencies? You think you've got a handle on these things. Do you? Hey, the day that you learn to give every aspect of your life to God. The day that you learn to do that is the day that your life will ever change for the better. By prayer and supplication, giving thanks unto God. By prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. The Bible says in Psalms 144:15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He's Lord by default. There's I consider it an extreme doctrine out there called lordship salvation. And I'm not into that. It says either you make him Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Well, he's Lord by default, whether you make him Lord or not. But the more you allow him to be Lord over the different various aspects of your life, the more that that peace of God and that happiness will fill your heart. That worry and that stress and that burden that keeps you down will go away when you give it to God. In his presence there is fullness of joy. Keep him there with you, at your side, in your heart, every moment of the day. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Do you believe him today? Do you trust him? What have you refused to give God this morning? Have you given him everything? We sing the song, I surrender all. Have we done that? I don't know anyone that's really surrendered all. They say the D.L. Moody came close. Might have come close. But the closer you get to God, the more dependence and reliance that you put on God, the more glory God gets. I'm done this morning. First thing you have to do, everyone stand up this morning, the first thing you have to do is give up control over your own soul. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven by being good. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Ghost. The Lord has said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the first thing you need to give God control over, and that's the destiny of your immortal soul. If you've never trusted him for that, then nothing else I've said will make sense to you. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ for salvation. Do you believe God? Do you believe him when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to step out by faith and trust him? The altar's open for whatever reason as we sing this morning.
270.
Page 270.